This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week by Pastor Gene Amoson. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
Now, I'm going to start out with something that I believe probably most of you parents can say amen to, and that's this. Parenting is not for the faint of heart. Amen. If you've ever had two kids that were screaming at each other, crying, but they both promised that they didn't do anything, you know that parenting's not for the faint of heart, right? Amen. If you've ever, walked through your living room at night and you stepped on a toy or a Lego or something like that, and you just didn't want to shout bless God at that moment, you want to shout something else, then you know what I'm talking about today, don't you? Parenting's always not that easy of a task for us to do. But whenever we think about it, parenting is really a little bit of a temporary assignment. What do I mean by that? Well, we have our kids for about 18 to 20 years while they're at home. And during that time, we've got to understand that for us as parents, it's not about us just surviving, okay? It's not about us just kind of trying to get through this 18 to 20 years while our kids are at home. It's really about stewardship. I need somebody to say stewardship today. Stewardship. Because that's really what it's all about. For the last few weeks, we've been in our Family Foundation series. And in this series, what we've been doing is talking about how we can build our families based on the Word of God. Because how many of you know, if you're going to build anything, it's got to be on a good foundation, right? Yeah. If it's not on a good foundation, then whatever you build, it's just not going to last. And the truth is that the Word of God is our foundation, that God has a design for the family. God has a design for our marriage. God has a design on how we need to raise our kids. And whenever we do it His way, it's going to be built to last, what we build. Amen. It's going to be built to last. Amen. So what we've done is we've talked about, you know, in the last few weeks, how marriage is a covenant and not a contract. We don't just get in and out of marriages if we don't like what we're experiencing. That's not it. Marriage is a covenant, and a covenant's a big thing before the Lord, right? We've also talked about the roles that we have as individuals in the family, right? Husbands and wives. And today, as we conclude the series, as we wrap it up, we're going to talk about raising godly children. Come on, somebody. We're going to talk about raising godly children, amen? Because that's very important. It's very important. Now, we need to remember that raising kids is actually one of the greatest blessings that we have, and also one of the biggest responsibilities that we will be given as well. This is not a side task, a side assignment that we get. That's not it whatsoever. It's actually central to God's plan for the family. It's central to God's plan for humanity as well. Now, our verse for this whole series has been Psalms 127:1, and y'all recognize this because you've heard it every week. It says this: unless who builds the house? The Lord. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Now, we've been looking at this verse for the last few weeks, but let's hop down two more verses to verse 3 where it says, behold, children are what? They're a gift. Come on, somebody say they're a gift. A gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Verse 4, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are children of one's youth. So based on Scripture, children are a gift. They're not interruptions. They're not burdens in our lives. They're a gift that the Lord intended us to have. And according to verse 4, they're arrows that God has placed into our hand. But here's a question I have for you today. What kind of aim do we have? What kind of aim do we have? Because arrows are only useful if they're aimed in the right direction. Y'all hear me today? They got to be aimed in the right direction. So God's given children to us, but we're not just trying to raise good citizens. Hear me today. We're trying to raise disciples who will carry the faith forward, y'all. That's what we're trying to do with our children. That needs to be our goal. And to do that, we got a few things that we need to understand today. So today, I've got 3 points. And I want to just say this before we really hop into this. We could talk about parenting for weeks and weeks and weeks, right? There's so much about parenting that we could talk about. And I also want to say this. Regina and I, we've got small ones, right? 12 and 9. So we've not experienced a lot of what y'all have. But what we do know is that what we're going to talk about today goes back to the Word of God. And we can never go wrong by going to the Word of God, right? And so let's look at what our first thing is today, and we're going to get right into it, and we're going to get real today. raising godly children means prioritizing eternal things. Eternal. Somebody say eternal. Eternal things. Now, we live in a culture that's constantly trying to tell us what's important for our kids, like what's really important. They'll say academics, the most important thing. It's fine. They say sports. That's okay. They say activities, popularity, being well-rounded. Culture will tell us all these things that are really important whenever it comes to raising kids. They're all fine, but here's the thing. They're not more important than that which is eternal. None of these should take the place of what's eternal. Jesus asked this question in Matthew 16, verse 26. He says, what do you benefit if you gain the whole world and you lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? No, right? Nothing is. And parents, it doesn't matter if our kids are the star quarterbacks, are the best players on the teams, are valedictorians, salutatorians, if they don't know Jesus. Because knowing Jesus is the most important thing, right? It's the most important thing. And I think too many people have focused on those things. And what we're doing whenever we focus our family's time, our family's energy, our family's calendar, all around activities, what we've done is we've put the spiritual things on the side, and we've basically taught our kids that, you know, God's just optional. How many of you know he needs to be number one? Come on, somebody. He needs to be our focus. And a lot of kids have been handed trophies from coaches, scholarships from schools, but have they been handed faith from their family? Have they been handed faith from their parents? Because y'all, once again, it's that faith that's most important. That right there is what's going to secure their eternity. That right there is what's going to change their life. That right there is what's going to leave a legacy. Amen? Amen? Now, here's the thought that may sound a little troubling to you, but I believe a lot of families over the years have prioritized all these other things that we've talked about, and as a result, their kids have not truly ever had a relationship with the Lord. Amen. And you know, there's a verse in Scripture that we're going to put up here. It says, I never knew you. Away from me, Matthew 7:23. I believe a lot of people will hear that from the Lord because they never had a relationship with him. Why? Because they were focused on other things and their family was more concerned about the other things than the eternal things. Yes, and can we just get real for a minute? If you just had the thought like, oh Lord, my kid's hearing that from the Lord, like that, that's heavy, isn't it? Y'all, we've got to know that our kids know the Lord. We've got to do our part as parents and raise them to know the Lord, because the truth is this, is that your kids will not get into heaven on your salvation plan. You might can get their contacts and their eyeglasses covered on your vision plan, right? Or their braces or whatever covered on your dental plan, but they can't get to heaven on your salvation plan. See, it's a personal relationship that we all have to have. And the truth is that whenever your child stands before the Lord, you will not be standing next to them defending them. And making excuses for them. They have to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Amen? They've got to have that relationship with him. And we've got to realize that our kids, they're learning from us in the process based on how we're prioritizing things. They notice what we do. And so whatever we're doing, it's going to be the standard for them, right? Because a lot of us, we have the same habits that our parents had. But I believe a lot of families, they've prioritized these other things, and so they're spending 10 times the amount of time at the ball field than they are in the house of God. Please don't shut me down. We're not going to miss a practice. We're not going to miss a game. Church, we don't feel like it. Or we're spending thousands of dollars on gear, thousands of dollars on club ball, all-stars, travel ball, whatever in the world ball you can get yourself into. But come youth camp time, we don't have the money for that. We're not investing into the spiritual things. You know, and let's just be honest, it's places like youth camp and times like that to where they can have an encounter with God that'll change their life forever. I was in seventh grade in Ocala, Florida, in youth camp, and had a visitation with the Lord that I was never the same after that again. And for whatever my parents forked out for me to be there, it was the best money they ever spent. I understood who I was in the Lord. I understood the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I came home a changed human being, and at that point, I was marked. I want you to know, it's those types of environments that your kids can get in that'll be life-changing. Home runs, what teams they played for, it means nothing before God. And I'm not anti-sports. My kids play. Amen? But what's our focus? Come on, somebody. We've got to make sure that we got that focus right. Because the truth is, a lot of parents are wondering, why is it that my kids aren't living for the Lord? Because your focus was so off. If our kids are not seeing us prioritize the spiritual things, the eternal things, we can't expect them to do any differently. But here's the great news. Whenever we show our children that the things of God matter most, His Word, right? His house, His presence, then they're gonna learn that those eternal things outweigh the trophies, outweigh the activities. And that's a lesson, y'all, that's going to last forever. Amen? It's going to affect them. It's going to affect their kids as well. And let's not forget that our time on earth is just like this compared to eternity.
Amen.
Eternity, forever. This time on earth, our 70, 80, 90 years, whatever it is, it's just a vapor compared to eternity. Amen? So number one, we got to prioritize the eternal. Number two, parents are called to lead and not just be friends.
Amen.
They're called to lead and not just be friends. Now, whenever we go to Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child. Somebody say, train up a child. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even whenever he is old, he will not depart from it. Training requires leadership from parents. If we try to be their buddy, then we're going to avoid discipline whenever it's needed. Whenever we try to be their buddy, we will say yes whenever we often need to say no, right? Whenever we're trying to be their friend, we will overlook certain behavior because we'll get into friend mode and we'll be thinking, well, I know what they've gone through and right now they need a friend more than they need anything. No, what they need is a parent to do the right thing is what they need more than anything. Amen? They need a parent to do the right thing. The role of friend will have our children growing up confused about authority and boundaries. It'll have our kids confused about authority and boundaries. Because understand, friends don't discipline, right? Friends don't enforce the house rules. But parents do. That's our role as parents. And let's talk about discipline just for a minute. Whenever you go to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, it has the old school version of discipline up here. Check out what it says. It says, those who spare what? The rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. They care enough to discipline them. Now, I know that discipline back whenever I was growing up and today looks a little bit different. My parents, they like spanked for sport, okay? If I just gave them a weird look, my mom would say, bend over and touch your toes. She had a paddle that we have. It's generational. I still have this paddle. And since Dad traveled a lot, Mom did a lot of the, discipline, because a lot of times Dad was going with his job. He was going Monday through Friday a lot of times, not all the time. So as a result, Mom tore our fanny up a whole lot. But whenever it comes to spanking, I want you to understand it's not like a barbarian type thing to do. The Word of God talks about it. I mean, it actually talks about tearing up your child's blessed assurance. Amen? It talks about that. It's okay to do it. And you may think to yourself, but my kids will grow up to hate me. No, they won't, because if you do it correctly, the Word of God, anytime you do what the Word of God says, it's going to work out good for you. Amen? But I got to say this, there's a difference in spanking your child and abusing your child. So it's got to be done properly, okay? And that's a conversation we could get into for a minute. But sparing the rod is not a good thing. You see what Scripture says? It says you hate your children if you don't discipline them. You love your children whenever you do discipline. Amen? But talking about being our friends' kids, here's the thing. Our kids will have a lot of friends in their life. a whole lot of friends, but they'll only get one mom and dad. They only get one. And so what they need from us more than anything is for us to walk into our role that God has for us as their parents. You know, to set boundaries, to give direction, to model discipline, to love them enough to say no, to love them enough to say this is how it's going to be, or no, we will not be doing this as a family. Sometimes in our car, if we feel like our kids aren't doing what they're supposed to do, I'll be like, come on, kids, we're Amosons. We got to do better. Right. What are we? We're Amosons. And you'll hear Audrey, we're Amosons. You know, as if she doesn't want to be an Amoson at that moment. We're Amosons. Okay. I'm like, come on, kids, we got to do better. You know, we're believers. We got to do better than that, kids. But we've got to do the right thing. We've got to show them the direction that we're going to go as a family. And they may not thank you at age 15, but I think that they will respect you at age 25 if you're constantly doing the right thing. Amen? I don't know if y'all remember in our first part of this series, I made the statement that your family is your first ministry. I don't know if you remember that, but here's what I want you to understand. Whenever you stand before the Lord, the Lord's not going to ask you if your child liked you. He's not going to do that. But what he will be asking you is whether or not you train them in the Lord. Because children are a blessing from the Lord. And so then we are, again, I mentioned that stewardship thing earlier. We're supposed to steward our children. We're supposed to lead them to the Lord. We're supposed to model for them how they're supposed to live. Come on, somebody. And so we will stand before the Lord, and we're going to have to give an account of how we raised our children. And I know it's not easy. Parenting is hard, again. And can we all just get real that technology has not made it any easier? And it's not that technology is evil, but here's the problem. We know that too much screen time is hurting our kids. It's literally proven. Because it's doing things like stunting social skills. A lot of kids just don't know how to interact with each other. It's preventing physical activity. Kids need to sweat and burn calories, right? It's robbing creativity. And it's here's the worst part. It's opening the door for ungodly influences. It's opening the door for ungodly influences. And if we let screens raise our kids, then we don't need to be surprised if their worldview doesn't look anything like this word right here. Because anybody and everybody can get online and give their opinion. And the truth is that young people are way too often swayed very easily. Can we agree with that, right? And so we've got to be very, very, very careful. I mean, let's just be honest. Our younger generations, they're confused in a lot of different areas. You know, what gender they are, what they identify as. I said earlier, I saw somebody the other day online that said, I believe people should be able to identify as anything they want to identify as. If you want to be a zebra, you can be a zebra. If you want to be a lamp, you can be a lamp. But, I mean, there's confusion, right, with our younger generation. And where are they seeing most of this stuff? They're seeing it online. So we got to be very careful to protect them. And we need to just let our kids be kids, right? Yes. You know, come on, all of us that are over the age of 30 or 40, we were kids. Yes. We were tough. Yep. We scraped our knees. Yes, we would sweat. We would build forts. We would drink out of water hoses. The other day, my son said, look at those kids. They're riding in the back of a truck. I said, those kids are going places. Brave kids, look at them. It was like, I haven't seen this in 20 years. I mean, it was so good to see it. And the thing is I'm so sad to say my son's never ridden in the back of a truck. I got to rip the lid off of ours so he can just ride back there. But I mean, like, we were kids, right? And our kids need to be kids. They need to ride bikes. They need to use their imagination. Because, I mean, this younger generation, they're just getting so stuck on this. I've got a buddy of mine that we go to the gym together, and, like, he's got a landscaping business, so, like, this dude knows how to work, right? I mean, he works every day, but on Saturdays, he'll bring his son to the gym, and his son normally has a little iPad or something with him, and the other day, he told me, he said, Gene, this is where we're at in my family. He said, my son is now watching kids play with toys. He said, rather than my son playing with toys, you know, like a normal kid, He's watching kids play with toys. He's like, this is how he's wasting his time. Is something weird about that? Anybody?
Yes.
Our kids should be playing, right? Not just entertained by other kids on a screen. So we got to be really, really, really careful about that. We also need to make sure that our kids are around good kids. Of course, I want to give a plug for our youth ministry, for our kids ministry here. Those kids aren't perfect, just like everybody in this room isn't perfect either, right? But you can get them around good young men and women. You can get them around good kids. You can get them around leaders that truly care for your kids and want to pour into the life of your kids as well. And so that's that priority thing, that going back to point one, to where you need to do whatever in your schedule to get your kids to youth ministry, to make sure that your kids are in children's ministry, right? So that they're receiving the word of God. Come on, somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
I mean, we got to think about who's shaping our kids, who's whispering in their ears. Who are they trying to impress? Because truly, voices, they shape choices, y'all. So let's make sure that our kids are hanging out with the right kids. All right, number three, point three. Parents are called to be the primary disciplers of their children.
Yes.
Parents are called to be the primary disciplers of their children. Just so you know, it's not the job of the school to disciple your kids. Even if your kids go to a Christian school, don't expect them to disciple your kids. Don't put that responsibility on them.
Amen.
Don't put that responsibility on the church either. The church is here to supplement, hear me, what you start at home.
Amen.
We've got to lead our family. We've got to pastor our kids.
Yes.
Men. The church then helps with that. Amen. But it all starts at home. And I've got a statement for you this morning. Check this out. If parents don't teach their children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. That's a word right there. But I want you to understand, all of us here, whether single, whether married, whether we have kids or whether we don't, I want you to understand you can contribute, though, and you can sow into the lives of young people. Whenever you look at Titus 2, you see that older men and women, they were called to teach and model godliness for the younger ones, right? And the truth is that you don't have to be older to be able to help shape that next generation. You don't have to have your own kids to help shape that next generation. Our kids, my kids, all the kids that are part of this church need to see godly men and women serving God.
Amen.
Who are worshiping, who are praying, who are living with integrity. They need to see it so that it just seems like the norm to them. Does that make sense? They need to see examples of strong single believers who show them that following Jesus, it's not just for families, that you can actually do it at any stage in life. Whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you have kids, or whether you don't, Jesus, following Jesus, it's for every stage of life. Amen? That's what they need to see. And to our high school and college age folks, I just want to tell you, those younger ones really look up to you. They really look up to you. I mean, even last year at VBS, or this past VBS, you know, my kids would tell me which teenagers that they really enjoyed being around. You know, which ones that in all honesty, they were paying attention to how they act, to what they say. So I want you to know, if you're of that age, they're really looking up to you. And for all of us here, you may not be a parent, but you can still impact the next generation.
Yes.
Going back to our younger folks, maybe it's serving in kids ministry. You know, I'm old and bald. They don't want to hear from me. Youth ministry, they don't want to hear from me. I'm too old for them. But the younger folks, I want you to know, those little ones, they will listen to you. They will definitely listen to you. You can still impact that next generation. Maybe it's just spending time and encouraging a teenager. Maybe it's a teenager that doesn't have a father in his life. Men, any of us, we can be there to speak some destiny into that young man. Amen? To help show him how men need to act, young men, as they're growing up. So we can all contribute. We can all still impact that next generation for sure. I want you to hear me, everyone here. The next generation needs us all, amen? Needs every one of us. Now, as we begin to close today, If you've been part of the church for any amount of time, you've heard about our vision here at the church. It's three words that you see on a regular basis, and it's love, grow, and lead. So hopefully whenever you came to Church Life for the first time, and if you came today for the first time, hopefully whenever you walked in, you felt loved. You felt like, man, you mattered here. In addition to that, we hope that you have understood how much God loves you. How much He truly loves you. If you've been here any amount of time, we hope that you've grown, you know, to understand that your church family loves you so much as well. And then kind of the next point of that vision, it goes into the word grow. We want you to grow in your relationship with the Lord, of course, as you're here. We want you to grow in your relationship with the church family as well. Everybody needs a good church family, amen? But the truth is we pray that every week, whenever you leave this place, that you're a little bit closer to the Lord, a little bit closer to the Lord, a little bit stronger in the Lord, right? A little bit stronger in the Lord every week. And then we want you to be part of leading others through what you've experienced, God's love, being loved on by your church family, growing in the Lord, growing in your relationship with your church family as well. We hope that you move into that part of our vision that we say lead, that you're helping to lead others into what you've experienced. But as I was thinking this week about our church vision, I started tying it in and just thinking about how it applies to our families. Bear with me just for a minute. Whenever we truly love our children, we're going to give them time. We're going to give them attention, right? We're going to give them encouragement and even correction because we love them. Can we all agree? We're going to do that. And that's whenever we love our children. Those are the things that we'll do. And as we love them, we're going to see them grow spiritually, grow into responsible young men and women. We're going to see them grow in wisdom whenever we're in God's word with them. We're going to see them grow in confidence whenever we affirm them. We're going to see them grow in character whenever we model godliness for them. And then whenever kids are loved and whenever they're taught to grow, here's what we've done. We've actually positioned them to lead. To lead. Not necessarily on a field, not necessarily in a classroom, and that's all fine, of course. But here's the thing. They will lead in life. They're going to lead their peers. They're going to lead their communities. They're going to lead them with integrity. But here's the kicker right here. Listen to me. They're going to lead families with godly values because their family was built on the right foundation. Because it was built on the right foundation. See, y'all, raising godly children, I know it's not easy at all, right? Can we all just agree? It's not easy, especially in today's culture, but it's possible. And it is worth it, but it takes work. So I want to encourage you today, don't prioritize those temporary things. Don't put those over eternal things. More than anything, we need to focus on our kids knowing the Lord. Amen? Walking with the Lord. Be your child's parent. That's what they need from you more than anything, for you to parent them based on what the Word of God says. Guard them from unhealthy influences, because at the end of the day, they don't need parents that just raise them. They need parents who disciple them. And listen, whenever we take that responsibility serious, we don't just raise children. Y'all, we're raising arrows. Somebody say arrows. They're aimed at the future, and they're released at the target that God designed for them. So let's look at verse 4 of Psalm 127 again. It says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Parents, hear me today. You're the archer. Aim carefully. Aim carefully. We talked about aiming in the right direction. Release wisely and then trust God with the impact. Amen? Amen. Come on, just bow your head today with me as we close. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, the children are a blessing from you. Lord, it's not easy to raise them. But Father, we ask for your help today. God, help us to do it the way that you design. Because Lord, we know that whenever we do it your way, that Father, we will succeed. God, you have a design for the family, for every marriage. God, you have a design for how we're supposed to parent. And God, we want to be obedient. Or to parent that way, Father. That way. Lord, help us to walk in our roles, the roles that you designed for the family, God, that we're men and women, Lord, who are good spouses, good fathers, good mothers, good husbands, good wives, walking in the roles that you have for us, Lord. And Lord, right now, I just want to pray for any families, Lord, that may have children that are not currently walking with you. Listen, today as we're all just praying, I want you to just do me a favor. If you've got children that you're concerned about that aren't walking with the Lord, that maybe you feel like, Gina, I'm not even 100% sure if they're saved, if they know Jesus, would you just, come on, just lift your hand. Just keep it up for a moment because we want to come into agreement with you right now. We said earlier in Psalms 22:6, it says, train them up in the way that they should go, that they will not depart from it. And if you feel like, man, we did what we were supposed to, but they're not living the way they're supposed to, come on, let's all just agree right now that those children are coming back to know the Lord in Jesus' name. Come on, church, that these kids will know the Lord. Holy Spirit, we ask you to go after them right now. We ask you to touch their hearts. We ask you to touch their minds. Lord, we ask you to bring them back, Lord, to the Lord, within the boundaries, God, that they're supposed to be, Lord, that they'll remember, Lord, the moment whenever they came, Lord, to know you, Father, that they'll remember what you did for them, God. And so, Father, we claim that those kids are coming back to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, right now, for any marriages that are here that, Father, have not been strong, that, Lord, maybe even the word divorce has been thrown out recently, God, we bind and we rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Satan, we say, take your hand off of every family in this place in Jesus' mighty name. God, we declare that this church will be full of strong families, God. Lord, that you can bring restoration to any family, God, to any couple, to any marriage, no matter how messed up it looks. But, Lord, you can restore. It's what you do, Father. You restore. So God, we just put our faith in you, God, knowing that you're going to change, Lord, our situations in Jesus' mighty name. God, more than anything, Lord, we want our kids to know you. Lord, more than any desire I have on earth, it's that my kids, the Cash and Audrey, will have a relationship with you, Father, and will live for you, God, their entire lives. Come on, just lift your hands today. Just believe for your kids. And Father, we just lift our hands saying, Lord, that's our desire today. Lord, that they know you, that they serve you. Lord, that they're kingdom focused. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, if you agree today, somebody say amen. Amen. Give God some praise.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week with Pastor Gene Amoson. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.